Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and those who don't identify as either, you are listening to Ratchet and Respectable. I am recording this at 6:58 a.m. I can't sleep. I've had insomnia, I guess, for 2 weeks now, ever since I got to South Africa. I haven't been able to sleep through the night. Like, at most, I'll try to go to bed at like maybe 10, maybe even 12. I can sleep for 2 hours and then I'm up until 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 1 p.m. Like, just ridiculous. I feel like DR from Detroit, except I'm not going through a divorce. I was actually able to sleep when I was going through one. Separation, not so much. When I actually left, moved back to my parents' house, slept like a baby. I don't know what's going on. Like, I'm not really stressed out about anything. Like, there's work to be done. There's things in the works, but the team is coming together. It's not just me. I have help and assistance. I don't know what's going on. Nothing's triggering me right now. I'm alley-ooping life for when I return to the States for the summer or beyond. I'm not really sure what that looks like right now, but I'm good, I think, but I can't sleep. So clearly something's up. I've cut back on my wine consumption. I'm working out on a regular basis that usually puts me on a nice sleep schedule. I don't know what's going on, but here we are. Nevertheless, at the break of dawn, I've been up since midnight. Got a lot accomplished. That's got to count for something. I've been watching really great TV. I just got finished watching, you know, I love me a good HBO documentary. There's a documentary about like the history of the sitcom, breaking down not just what works, but why it works and what taps into human emotions and connection and culture. I've left the house. Remember, I told you I was just basically sleeping a lot and working a lot. One of my friends, I don't know how we keep ending up in the same country. He bops all over the world. I met him in Ghana last December, but I'd already followed him online because he lives a similar lifestyle to mine. From the West Coast, high-powered lawyer, quit his job and was like, I think I'm gonna go see some world. So that's what he's been doing. He's been doing it longer than I have, though. Like, I think he's on year four. But he was visiting Ghana, actually not last year, December 2022, with his parents. My lawyer was visiting me, and she is friends with him. That whole West Coast connection. All West Coast Black people know each other, it seems like. But we all connected on Christmas Day, and he and I just hit it off as like a big sister, little brother thing. But last time I was in South Africa, we overlapped the day. He was visiting Cape Town and then headed to Johannesburg, and I had just flown into Cape Town. So I actually gave him the keys to my place and was like, well, just crash because my place is empty and I'll be gone for 2 weeks. So when I flew into Cape Town, I guess almost 2 weeks ago now, I hit up like my crew that lives here and was like, hey, like, where is everyone? What's going on? Like, I'm back in town. And so there's a Black woman who's lived here. I guess she doesn't anymore, but she lived here, I think, for about 4 years. She's also friends with him. And so she said, I'm actually in DC, but our mutual friend, the guy, was doing a road trip through South Africa. Like, he drove from Johannesburg to Durban and then Durban to Cape Town. She said, yeah, I think he's on his way to Cape Town. And I was like, wait, what? So I texted him and he was like, yeah, I'm in Durban. I'll be in Cape Town in like 5 days. And I was like, oh, okay. So he made it to Cape Town and we met up for sundowners. We grabbed drinks on like one of my favorite rooftops here is this place called The Nines. I love that place. Here's something crazy. I never do this. So usually when I leave the house, I triple check for a bunch of things. Obviously my keys, obviously my cell phone. I never leave without my charger. I never leave without the cord. I never leave without the debit card. Like literally all the time that I've been bopping around everywhere, I never leave the house without all of those things. Like I triple check them every time before I leave the house. I go meet him for dinner. My phone dies and I'm like, oh, it's not like a thing because I have my charger. I didn't have the cord. And I was like, I think specifically because I have like a friend in town, like I know that I have like a backup plan, like an actual other person. I think I just let my guard down for a minute. And I was like, I never do that. Never. But yeah, but I was like, yeah, my phone's dead. Do you have a cord? Because I just assumed he did because he's one of those people that travels all the time like I do. He kind of moves the same way. And he was like, no, usually I carry one, but I didn't even think about it. And I was like, oh my God, you did the same thing. He was like, I'm catching an Uber. He was like, I'll just drop you off first. We're basically living in the same area. We're walking distance from each other. When I met his mom, but I guess I could have asked my mom the same thing, but it was just a question that came up when I was sitting there. And I was like, well, you know, do you worry with your son, like out in the world, like, you know, just bopping around endless earth? And she was like, you know, I know that this is something that he loves and that he's very happy. And, you know, that's all that I want. And, you know, he takes great care of himself. But she was like, I would be much more at ease if he was traveling with someone else. Just so, you know, if he runs into anything and needs help, and then there's someone there who can actually help. I asked my mom this question and she said about the same thing. She's like, you know, I don't really super worry, but like I would worry significantly less if you were with someone else. So it's not just you. She was much easier this last time when I went back to Ghana because Davida lives there. I was like, I have friends in most of the places that I go to. Like I'm not just showing up just completely solo, like knowing no one at all. But yeah, she was like, it would just be so much easier if you were with someone else. And then in the moment where I like didn't have my cord, I was like, oh, this is what they meant. And mind you, I was a 10-minute walk from home. I live in a relatively safe area. It was after dark when we left the restaurant, but it was probably only 10:30 at night. And I live in a place that has a pretty active nightlife, like lots of bars and restaurants. So walking around is not, I mean, it's not advisable to walk around after dark as a woman. Most places, Ghana was fine, but most places, not so much. It's not preferred, but if I had to walk home, I wouldn't have been shook. But I was like, oh, I'm with a friend and the friend can drop me off because, you know, help me. And I was like, oh, this is what my mother and his mother meant. I was like, oh, I get it. And also I had lunch same day with another one of my, I guess we're becoming friends. She was a friend of a friend from the first time I came to South Africa. I want to say like in 2011. Is that when I quit my job? Yeah, 2011 or 2012. 2012 is when I came. But I met her back then. She was a friend of a friend. And because of social media, Instagram specifically, we've stayed in touch over the years. Actually, I think I saw her on 2 trips when I was here. But I haven't seen her in over 10 years. But because I follow her on social media, like I know like the highlights of her life. Like she got married. She had 2 kids. She's a total foodie. But last time I was here, she had reached out and shared like a list of things to do. In Johannesburg, we weren't able to connect because I was moving around the continent so much. But this time I hit her up to say I was here and she was like, welcome back. And she was like, actually, me and my family will be in Cape Town. Would love to catch up. And so we did. The most amazing kids. She has a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. Both lovely, lovely children. The 4-year-old is a little more shy. But the 6-year-old, I was like, oh, my God, I want to kidnap your kid. I think I said that to her. And she was like, you want to take him? Take him. You'll bring him back by bedtime. Trust me. He's chatty, but he's like so interesting chatty. Like he drew me an American flag and I was like, oh my God, like I'm American. And he was like, yes, I can hear your voice. He asked me where I was from. I said, I'm from Washington, D.C. And he says, that's far. He says, was your flight more than 10 or 11 hours? Which blew my mind because I was like, how does this kid even have a concept of even possibly how many hours it would be on a plane from here to America? Like, well, one, he's been, but okay. And I said, well, it's 15 hours for me to get back home to my mom. He said, oh, okay. And he said, you must be really tired when you get there. He said, we went to Singapore. He said, that flight was 10 hours and I was very tired when I got there. He told me he'd been to D.C. I asked him, what did he like about D.C.? He remembered that he had pancakes and he really liked those. He asked me something about Star Wars. I was like, I've never seen Star Wars. Have you seen Star Wars? And he said, no. He said, my mom said I can't watch it until I'm 10. So I said, well, you have a ways to go. It's like, you've got 5 more years. And he said, well, I'm almost 6. And I said, well, correct. And I was like, so not as long. And he was like, yeah, but it's still a long wait. But in the meantime, he told me that he's been reading and watching Harry Potter, some of it, because some of the Harry Potter is too advanced. You have to be a certain age. His mom is really enforcing the age limits on the content that he watches. I tried to advocate for him as like a new auntie. I was like, he could just watch Star Wars. Like, it's not that bad. And she was like, no, he can't. And I was like, well, I tried. So he told me that he reads and watches Harry Potter. And I was like, wait, like you're reading Harry Potter at 5? And he was like, I listen to the audiobooks. And I was like, oh, well, okay. Like, some magical kid. Then he was like, do you know what the South African flag looks like? And I was like, I don't. So he Googles it and then draws it and then shows it to me. I'm like, I want to take him with me. This amazing kid. Like every once in a while when I meet a kid like this, like I have like a bit of FOMO and I was like, wow, maybe I should have had one of those. But I remember saying this to my mother years ago, like I was on vacation somewhere. I think we were in Hawaii and there was like this little girl. She's maybe like 3. She was the kid of one of my parents' friends. And she was sitting on a chair at the beach and she'd ordered sushi. And when the waiter came and brought the sushi, she just picked up her chopsticks. Little black girl, just for clarity. She picked up the chopsticks and just started eating sushi. And I was like, are you kidding me right now? And when you talk to her, she kind of spoke almost very similar to like the 6-year-old. But it was just very clear sentences, very like clear train of thought. Like she's a really smart kid. And I was like, oh my God, I want one of those. And my mom was like, yeah, you were one of those. And she's like, do you understand how expensive that type of kid is? And she's like, you have to, one, take them everywhere, expose them to everything, talk to them constantly. Like, that kind of kid isn't born. That kind of kid is built. And I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a lot of work. My mom was like, it is. It is. I was like, yeah, I don't. I was talking about this kid on Facebook. You know, I get a bunch of my friends or parents, and they were like, there is nothing more amazing than other people's children. And I was like, yo, like, I really wanted to kidnap this kid. And they were like, yeah. And his mom wasn't lying. You would have brought him right back before bedtime. Like, please take him. I will pay you. Take him. My other friend was like, you don't be trying to take my kid. And I was like, yeah, because your kid's expensive as fuck. I talk to you on a regular basis. Her kid was like 6 asking for like pyrotechnics for Christmas. I'm like, how do you even know what pyrotechnics is? But he wanted pyrotechnics because he was planning his concert tour, his stage performance. And he needed pyrotechnics to like bring the whole thing together. And I was like, how does he even pronounce pyrotechnics? Like, what the fuck? But she gonna ask, why don't you take my kid? I can't afford your kid. I can't afford your kid. Probably could barely afford the 6-year-old. He's talking about he went to Singapore. But yeah, so that is my Cape Town life. The weather here is absolutely beautiful. It gets a little cloudy some days, but you just go to the other side of the city and it's lovely. I guess it's kind of San Francisco-y that way. We go through like 4 different seasons in one day. And then the sunsets make everything worthwhile. Like, I'm living in paradise. Also looked at apartments again today. I'm not as committed to the Cape Town apartment as I thought I was to Ghana. I got to work out my emotional feelings with Ghana. Like, it's next topic.
Watching Netflix without using ExpressVPN is like paying for a gym membership, but only being able to use the treadmill. Netflix has different content available to users depending on where you're located. They have thousands of shows, but if you don't use ExpressVPN, then you only get access to a fraction of them. ExpressVPN lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think you're located. They have almost 100 different server locations, so you can gain access to thousands of new shows. This works with many other streaming services too, like BBC iPlayer, YouTube, and more. I've had ExpressVPN on all of my devices forever. Right now, instead of downloading a new app, I'm watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on Indian Netflix. ExpressVPN is so easy to use. All you do is open it, select your country, tap one button to connect, and refresh Netflix to watch. What I love most about ExpressVPN is it's compatible with all my devices. I can watch whatever show I want from anywhere in the world, from my phone, my laptop, my smart TV, and more. So be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/ratchet. Don't forget to use my link at expressvpn.com/ratchet to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Lots of good Black news this week. 50 Cent has opened his own film studio. I was like, well, how did I hear nothing about this? Was this something that was not announced? Or is this just me being overseas so I didn't even know about the building of this project? But he's built his own film studio, G-Unit Studios. It's nearly 1 million square feet. I believe it's in Shreveport, Louisiana. And it's the second largest Black-owned studio after Tyler Perry in Atlanta. And from what I've read, I screenshotted this on one of my friend's pages. Hold on one second. See if I can pull it up. They haven't started shooting anything yet, but they will shortly. I think they're starting with reality, and then they're going to start with scripted soon after. So congratulations to 50. I mean, he drives me up a wall. Lord God, this man is a public menace, but he is a shrewd businessman and he does know how to make money. He also does know how to generate conversation. He does keep his name on people's lips. It pains me in my heart a little bit to offer him congratulations. He is just a very classic petty cancer. I don't date cancer men. Because they act like cancer women. I'm a cancer. I can say these things out loud. But the level of unhinged and emotions and tough outer shell and just unhinged mood swings, it's somewhat tolerable in women. In men, I can't tolerate it. I work very, very hard to keep the worst of my cancer energies at bay. 50 does not do work in that area. He very much submits to the worst of himself. The other good Black news, there are 23 Black people in the Time 100. It just came out the other day. I looked at the list and I actually had to look up some of the people because I was like, who this? Like, I knew the entertainers. But once they got to like the activists and the global politicians, I was like, not sure, unclear. We can go through some of these. I don't mind naming everyone. We don't need to get into the nitty gritty of everybody, though. 21 Savage is on the list. I can't name a song, but congratulations to that man. His write-up was written by Burna Boy. Is Burna on the list? Coleman Domingo, who I'm completely obsessed with. His write-up is by Lenny Kravitz. Somehow in this write-up, they talked about his role as Bayard Rustin, but they didn't talk about his role as Mr. I guess Rustin is what got him nominated all season. I thought he did a great job as Mr., though. Time 100 didn't even mention the Color Purple part. Divine Joy Randolph, who racked up all awards season. I think everything she was nominated for, she won. I told y'all I watched The Holdovers. Is that what it's called? I don't even think I got all the way through it, but her role, it was fine acting. It didn't stand out to me. I'm not trying to be shady. I think we talked about this in a previous episode. I don't want to belabor the point. And I believe in Black mediocrity. And don't want to say that. I don't want to say it like the woman's mediocre. I think she's a fine actress. I've seen her in other things, particularly, what was the movie she was in with Eddie Murphy? Dolomite? I thought she was phenomenal. I thought she was a scene stealer. I thought she was great. I think she's a great actress. It's just, I was watching the holdovers and I was like, she kept winning for this. Again, rooting for everybody Black. I just was very surprised that that role kept winning. It was just okay. It was very mammy. I'm leaving it alone. I'm moving along. Jeffrey Wright, did he win anything this award season? I feel like he was nominated for things, but I can't remember him winning anything. I could be very wrong about that, but I'm very happy he's listed on the Time 100. I think he's a phenomenal actor. I loved, loved, loved him in American Fiction. I thought he did an excellent job. I would have loved to see him rack up awards. His tribute was written by Octavia Spencer. Fantasia Barrino, she got 50 million Levin NAACP awards, which she deserved. We've already talked about how I was upset that The Color Purple didn't win more things. A lot of people loved it. A lot of people didn't. But her tribute was written by Taraji P. Henson. And this picture of Fantasia, she's just a beautiful, sexy, regal woman. I feel like she's the embodiment of ratchet and respectable. I really, really love Fantasia. Let's read what Taraji had to say, because it was really a beautiful tribute. She wrote, quote, "Fantasia is a living testimony that we're all going to go through storms. But at the end of a storm, what happens? The sun comes out. Whatever comes next for her will be so beautiful. She deserves everything. I see such big things for Fantasia. The sky's the limit. Well, beyond the sky for her, it's her time." She also wrote, she says, quote, "I learned that she's a Cancer, sweet and sensitive, but with a quiet strength. You can feel it in her presence, and you can hear it in her powerful voice. When she sings, she transcends. It's like she goes somewhere else, and you just have to go with her." I love how Taraji be loving on people. And Taraji's also on this list. We'll get to her in a little bit. Leslie Odom Jr., his tribute was written by Kate Hudson, and I was like, I don't get the connection there. But Leslie Odom Jr., I raved. You heard me? I raved about his performance in Pearly Victorious. I went to see him on Broadway when I went to New York. Gosh, when was that? I guess last October, November. Everyone knows him from Hamilton. That was his big breakout role. But he had this monologue in Pearly Victorious. I wanted to leap out of my seat. He's just such a brilliantly talented man. I love to see people working in their true purpose. He knows what he's supposed to be doing with his life, and he's doing it, and he does it at such a high level. I adore him. I adore his work. I think he's just amazingly, amazingly talented. LaToya Ruby Frazier, I wasn't sure who she was. She's a Black girl with an afro, so I clicked on her picture. But she's a renowned photographer. She's got a solo show coming up at MoMA in New York. If it's on when I'm in town, which hopefully it'll be on this summer, I'll be there for 3 months straight, at least. I would like to catch her show. And then also author James McBride, he is also on the list. Everybody that I've mentioned so far is under artist. We're moving on to icons. There's this gorgeous picture of Taraji B. Henson, and she's giving us Angela Bassett arms. I was like, ma'am, she looks phenomenal. This woman is 50 some odd years old. Do I know what 50 looks like? Because I feel like in my head, there was a vision of 50. And then now that I'm not so far from it, I mean, I still got a ways to go. But I look at women like Taraji P. Henson, and I'm not quite afraid to get there. Like at one point, 50 sounded old to me. Now 50 just sounds grown, because I don't really feel grown most days. But her tribute was written by Mary J. Blige. She said, what I love most about her being Taraji, I'm quoting, she says, is that she's unapologetically herself. Taraji is a real woman. She doesn't bite her tongue, and she's not afraid to stand up for what she believes in. She's always true and authentic, and she's just as fearless on screen, which is why she's one of my favorite actors. Watching her commit 1,000,000% to whatever character she's portraying is amazing. Her courage really sets her apart. in Hollywood and in real life. Oh, this is cute. She adds, even though she doesn't need any advice, I'll say this to my beautiful friend. Taraji, my sis, keep being yourself and keep doing what you're doing. There's nobody like you. I love you. Aww. Oh, there's good behind the scenes video too. She's got on like a red suit. I think that's the cover. Taraji's one of the people that has her own time cover. She looks really, really good. Oh, I was right. Burna Boy is on the list. He wrote the piece about 21 Savage, but he's also on the list as well. Under icons, that's amazing. Time notes that in 2023, he became the first African artist to sell out a U.S. stadium. And in 2024, he became the first Afrobeats artist to sing at the Grammys. He is history in the making. That's quite the accolade. Thelma Golden, Studio Museum. Yes, ma'am. Her piece is written by Michelle Obama. She refers to her as, quote, my good friend and also a paradigm-shifting curator, one of the most influential people in art. Quote, Thelma knows the power of flipping an assumption on its head. Her exhibits at the Studio Museum in Harlem and previously the Whitney not only stop you in your tracks, they also show you much more about the depth of the Black experience. Obama is a lawyer, author, and former First Lady of the United States. I saw Michelle Obama was running around Target. Did you see that? She posted a video earlier today. And I was like, ma'am, what Target did you go to and what time of day? She put on a baseball cap and some sunglasses. And I was like, I recognize Michelle Obama with the baseball cap and sunglasses. She was on our TV every day for like a good 10 years. Like, I know you. I see you. I've read your books. I've seen you in person. I know you, ma'am. But I was like, who doesn't recognize Michelle Obama? But clearly, according to the video she shot, not the people in Target. It was mostly empty. But there did seem to be some people wandering around. But I was like, nobody's wondering about like the tall lady in like the baseball cap and the sunglasses who looks like Michelle Obama and it is like signing Michelle Obama's books and is clearly walking around with some form of security, even if they're, you know, quote unquote undercover. But just as someone who lives in DC, like the undercover security always has like the clear little spiral thing in their ear, the earpiece. She wasn't in DC. I can't remember where she was. I was like, everybody watches movies. Like they know what the little spiral thing in the ear is, right? And she's being recorded. I was like, somebody's walking around with a video camera. It didn't look like regular, degular iPhone footage. And then she was at checkout. The checkout woman seemed not to know who she was. She had no reaction. And I was like, this is a skit. This has to be a skit. But Michelle Obama's just randomly running around Target. Her book, I guess, recently went into paperback. I feel like that book came out over a year ago. Usually it's hardcover for a year and then it goes to paperback after a year. But maybe because it sold millions of copies, they just let it run hardcover for a while. I mean, that's the more expensive one. But I was like, Michelle Obama, just regular degular running around Target and no one seemed to know who she is. I don't buy it. Not in America. She maybe try that outside the States. Or not. She's the First Lady of the United States. The first Black First Lady. I feel like people would recognize her. Or according to her incognito Instagram, not. Sure, whatever. I'm trying to get to the next person. We're trying to see what's up with Frank Mugisha. I did not know his name until I went through this list earlier today. He is, my page is not loading. Give me a second. He is an LGBT activist in Uganda. It says as a college student, he founded Icebreakers Uganda to support young people coming out to their families. When the Ugandan government passed an aggressive anti-gay law, I think we talked about this when we talked about Ghana's gay law or gay proposed law. It's not been signed into law still. I think we talked about it like a month ago. It still has not been signed into law. But it says when Uganda passed their anti-gay law, Frank and his allies immediately challenged it in court. It says, and this is written by Hillary Clinton, it says he did the same when the government refused to register the organization he leads, Sexual Minorities Uganda. He's now a fellow at Columbia University's Institute of Global Politics, where HRC says, I'm honored to work alongside him as he defends the human rights of gay Ugandans and people around the world. She also notes that his courage has earned him the Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights Award and a Nobel Peace Prize nomination. Just making a point to read off people, you know, because, you know, we'd be like, we rooting for everybody black. Sometimes you just need to know the names of the people that you should be rooting for. Maybe you knew his name. I didn't. Next up on this list, and again, we're still under icons, is Julian Lucenge, L-U-S-E-N-G-E. Oh, I think I went to an event where she was honored when I was in D.C., although there are probably many women doing work like this. She is from the Democratic Republic of Congo, not to be confused with the other Congo. There's two of them. Time notes the DRC is, quote, a country torn apart by decades of conflict. Women and girls live with the daily reality of violence, extreme hardship, and the denial of fundamental rights. Outraged by these injustices, Julianne, a human rights defender, co-founded SOFEPADI. It's an organization that works to prevent sexual and gender-based violence, to support and empower survivors, and to help them rebuild their lives. She's also on the board of the UN Voluntary Fund for Victims of Torture, which each year helps thousands of people regain their dignity. In 2023, the UN recognized Julianne's far-reaching impact with the United Nations Prize in the field of human rights. I do think she was the woman that was honored. Remember, I went to that event at the Kennedy Center? It was for HRC's organization. I think she was one of the women honored that night. Time notes that Julianne's work to strengthen women's participation in political processes has been and continues to be key for peace building in Congo. As she herself said, women are the first victims of war, but only they hold the unique key to peace. If she is the woman who was at the event, she had very horrible tales that she shared about women being what pirates would call booty, probably the wrong word to use in this sense. She was talking about the number of women who'd been raped and tortured as part of war. Moving on to Titans, half black counts as black. He's brown. He's too brown to pass. Patrick Mahomes, his story is written by Alex Rodriguez. A-Rod, he fumbled Jenny. Rodriguez describes Patrick has the heart of a champion. A-Rod notes Patrick has transcended the game of football to become one of the most respected athletes of all time, both on and off the field. His legacy will live on far beyond his playing days, as evidenced by his back-to-back Super Bowl wins. And he's not done yet. I really don't follow sports like that because I could not pick this man out of a lineup. Does he have a brother? I feel like we've talked about him before, but I don't remember how his name came up. Aja Wilson. Now I know her name. She's been coming up a lot for the last 2 days. We talked about Caitlin Clark and the inequities, inequality, racism, discrimination, bullshit, however you want to call it. Caitlin is receiving all this attention, and black women who have a longer list of accolades and experience are not getting the same perks that she has. One of Caitlin's newest perks since the last time we spoke. Apparently, she's looking at an 8-figure deal for Nike. I think I read there's talk of her getting her own shoe. So people started talking about that. And then also talking about Aja Wilson, who is the number one player in the WNBA. She's been there for a while, black woman. And they were like, but she doesn't have a Nike shoe. She doesn't have a Nike contract. Like, how does a woman who hasn't even played like a day in the WNBA, how is there a conversation about an 8-figure contract and a shoe and the number one player in the WNBA? Nothing? Literally nothing. Nothing from Nike, at least. Like, that's, what do you call that? Because when I read people online talk about how, like, you know, that's racist. People are like, it's not racist. Like, Caitlin Clark is changing the game. She signed as the number one draft pick. I don't remember where she's going, but her jersey sold out like immediately. And they were like, well, look at the impact that she's having on the WNBA. And I was like, yeah, but also look at the way that the machine is operating and colluding to turn her into, like, I don't know, like the LeBron of the NBA, I guess. Maybe the Kobe is a better analogy. Maybe the Larry Bird is the best analogy. I watched Winning Time, and the Magic Johnson-Larry Bird rivalry is a huge part of Winning Time. Positioning Larry Bird as the great white hope of the NBA and then making Magic Johnson, a black man, his rival, and watching basically a race war or a race conflict play out on the court is what brought all the eyeballs to the NBA. But Aja Wilson, Her piece is written by Tom Brady. He says that, quote, she's not just an incredible athlete. She is also an inspiration to all who witness her talent and drive. Her journey is a testament to the power of passion and fearlessness in achieving greatness. This is a woman who doesn't have a Nike contract, just FYI. He notes that she has two WNBA championships with the Las Vegas Aces, two WNBA MVP awards, a WNBA Finals MVP award, an NCAA title at the University of South Carolina. Did she play under Coach Daly too? And even an Olympic gold medal. I would like to repeat, she does not have a Nike contract. Does she even have a shoe contract at all? Brady notes that she is, quote, undeniably a generational talent. Is she? Is she getting paid like one? I mean, tell me she's great. Tell me she's amazing. Cut the check. Cut the check. I was on the phone with Cut the Check earlier today. Cut the check. Stop telling Black people, particularly Black women, how fucking amazing they are and then not paying them. Like, you telling me I'm amazing doesn't pay my bills. Cut the check. The Shonda Brown Duckett, funny enough, she cuts checks. I had to look up who she was. She is a brown Black woman with braids for her picture for Time magazine. And I appreciate this very greatly. The Shonda Brown Duckett. She is the president and CEO of TIAA. Is that TIAA or TIAA? Like NAACP is NAA? Stay with me. A leading provider of secure retirements and outcome-focused investment solutions. She's the former CEO of Chase Consumer Banking, a division of J.P. Morgan, and a member of the board of directors of Nike. She's 50? She looks 35. Black don't crack. Huh. She's also in the Time 100 under Titans. Let's see, Kelly Robinson. I don't know her name, but I recognize her face. She's an LGBT activist. Oh, a little more than that. She's president of the Human Rights Campaign. Time describes she has brought the LGBTQ plus movement to recognize the critical intersectional work needed on gun reform, racial justice, immigration, voting rights, climate, abortion. Is that still legal in the United States? I mean, anywhere? Or are y'all full under his eye at this point? Sorry. Her dream of freedom for all truly means for all. The future of the LGBTQ plus movement is here. Let's see, who else? Nobody else Black under Titans. We're now into leaders. Marina Silva, she's a senator from Brazil. She's on this list. Diana Salazar Mendez. Now, see, I look at her and I would call her Black, but she's from South America. They get real interesting in their descriptions of color. So I would consider her Black. I don't know what she considers herself. Oh, no, she's referred to in this article as the first Black woman. She's the youngest person at 42. First Black woman to serve as Ecuador's top law enforcement official. She has one of the hardest and most dangerous jobs in the Western Hemisphere. Ecuador's attorney general is now spearheading the effort to prevent violent and well-connected drug traffickers from ruining her beloved country. I'm sorry. I heard top law enforcement official. I'm thinking chief of police. Madame is Ecuador's attorney general. Time notes that she and her family have been subjected to a stream of threats rendered credible by gangs that have a history of targeting with guns those who have targeted them with the law. In a country where trust in institutions has been low, Salazar has earned the respect and support of a population desperate for calm and safety. As she puts it, it's time to tell all of Ecuador that justice will not kneel down. Is that last but not least Black? No. We have two more Black people, at least. Maybe half. Maya Rudolph. But before we get to Maya, Kenyan President William Ruto is on this list. Then we go to innovators. Oh, no, there's three Black people under innovator. Okay. So Maya Rudolph, she has a write-up by Amy Poehler. Amy Poehler describes her as a super talent who is lit from within. Saya Khaleesi by Trevor Noah. He's the captain of South Africa's national rugby team. Trevor Noah describes, quote, he's been the embodiment of hope during a time in which many South Africans find it hard to hold on to any. Through political strife and energy crisis, i.e. load shedding, I would like to report that the lights have been on, the electric has been on all day, every day, since I've been back in South Africa. Apparently it's an election year. Trevor Noah notes, Saya has made rugby into something more than just a competition. His multiple victories, the country's victories, have meant so much. Saya has taught us what a powerful captain should be, someone who serves and inspires those he leads. And for him to lead a team in a historically white sport, to be loved and adored by fans of all races, is an immense achievement. Someday we will have a deep discussion about South Africa and its interesting, also familiar racial dynamics. It's so odd being here. To feel the familiarity in the racial dynamics, even though I'm not even considered Black here, is a mind fuck, but also the familiarity makes it comfortable. There is, though, that Black invisibility, which actually comes in handy sometimes, like white people just don't see me. Sometimes it's easier to navigate. But yeah, we'll talk about that another day. I don't want to talk about race today. Who is this? Rachel Hardiman. So when I Google her, she's referred to as reproductive health equity researcher. That's from the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, where she is an associate professor. Okay. Time refers to her or notes about her. Her anti-racism research has been at the forefront of our fight to end our nation's maternal health crisis. Uplifting evidence-based solutions to address the root causes of racism in our healthcare system. She always asks the tough questions, confronts uncomfortable realities with grace, and through her unwavering determination, offers all of us a path forward, truly advancing birth equity. Why does racism show up everywhere? Like everywhere, especially in America, but everywhere else too. Okay, I think that's it. We're moving on to pioneers. The first pioneer that comes up is America Ferrera. Brown cousin, not Black. She looks really good in this picture, though. We have two more Black people. Leslie Loco. Her story is written by Ava DuVernay. She's an acclaimed architect and academic, having established the University of Johannesburg's Graduate School of Architecture. DuVernay notes, one of the things I love about her is that while she was thriving as a star in the architecture world, she was also writing novels. She's penned more than a dozen books chronicling tales of intrigue, romance, and adventure. DuVernay describes her as, quote, a force of nature. DuVernay notes that in January, she won the Royal Institute of British Architects Gold Medal, the first Black woman to be so honored since its founding in 1848. We still getting Black first in the year of our Lord, 2024. I mean, I'm thankful for them for fighting the good fight, but like, I guess I should say really, but I'm not really that surprised. Last but not least, I think this is our last Black person. Kennedy Odede. His piece is written by Selma Hayek-Pinault. Kennedy is living proof that individuals can lead themselves and their communities out of poverty. His background, a refugee growing up with no formal schooling in one of the largest slums in Kenya, Kennedy finds ingenious solutions, schools for the most vulnerable girls, training programs for men to combat domestic violence, safe houses for survivors, community libraries, employment programs, innovative clean water kiosks, a community cooperative bank. There is no challenge he will not take on. He is an unstoppable force for justice. His piece was written by Selma Hayek-Pinault. She's married to one of the richest men in the world. Pinault, he's the one that owns Caring. They own Gucci and Balenciaga, I believe, and a whole bunch of other stuff too. His family's worth $40 billion, I think. I'll double check that, but I'm pretty sure. He has a personal museum in Paris. That shit is crazy. All right, I think that's all the Black people I'm going to go back through. I want to make sure I acknowledge everybody. Remember that time I did the Oscars recap and I left out like a ton of Black people? Make sure I got everybody Black on this list, even half Black. There's some other brown people. Nope, this woman might be Black. Sharon Levine is written by William Barber, Reverend William Barber. She might be black. Hold on. It's loading. Oh, yeah, she's from St. James Parish, Louisiana. She black. Woo, I'm glad I did the second pass. Reverend Barber notes, Sharon founded the advocacy group Rise St. James in 2018 to draw attention to the environmental racism that has turned the community she loves into, quote, Cancer Alley. As a pastor, I recognize this gathering was more than a rally. It was a graveside service for people who had died too soon. God did not call these men and women home, I told them. God will welcome them for sure, but they should not be dead. Rather than leave her home when corporations made it a valley of death, Sharon insisted this land would yet live. She has taught us that we must listen to the people of Cancer Alley, and she continues fighting for them every day. I thank God for her. Oh, yeah. I would have been very remiss to miss Miss Sharon Levine. That's a lot of good Black news. I'm very happy to see that. I want to say it's almost a fourth of the list. I think that's 24 Black people. Do we have anything else on this list that is really interesting to talk about? I saw Wendy Williams' husband is chatting. I saw Baller Alert posted something about it. Played the video of her husband going off on everybody and talking about Wendy's documentary. His actual live where he was flipping on people had like 138 people tuning in, which many people in the Baller Alert's comments noted. And they were like, if that wasn't your sign, no one cares. Let it go. Also saw somebody in the comments was like, look, go get a job or go to hell. You choose. People are very dumb with him. He's still trying to go after Wendy's money. Last I read, he had been overpaid. Because Wendy was paying him alimony, I guess. But he had been overpaid by like over $100,000. Wendy's person, her guardian or whoever that is, was trying to get the $100,000 back from him. And I was like, oh, you can let that go. He ain't got it. He ain't got it and ain't going to get it. But he was on the live talking big shit. And he was like, that documentary did nothing. It meant nothing. Nothing changed. We were like, yeah, like, did you see it? It was a shit show. Like, we saw it. And he was saying he's going to go out and get it because he got people depending on him. Get off the internet with your 138 people watching and go get it. He was like, I got people depending on me. My woman's depending on me. I don't think he said the outside baby that he created while he was married to Wendy was depending on him. But the baby ain't of age. The baby's still very young. The baby is depending on you too, sir. He was really truly counting on Wendy's money to raise this outside baby he made with his side chick. Sir, what are you doing? I think he mentioned Black China. He was talking about, like, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I can tell you some stories. Sir, either spill the tea or shut the fuck up. We know it's a shit show behind the scenes because it's a shit show on camera. We don't expect the behind the scenes is any better. This other stuff. Simone Biles, did she say she got depressed? She was really upset. She did say she cried about it. Remember her husband? I refuse to bother to look up what this man's name is. He will always be known forever forth as Simone Biles' husband. But he's the prize, according to him. Remember he did that interview where I think he just, it was too much testosterone in the room and he started talking his shit. He was feeling a way about, you know, being married to somebody who is far wealthier and far more popular than him. And, you know, he started talking his shit about he's the prize, blah, blah, blah. So he said that dumb shit. I don't know if we even talked about that on here. But he says this dumb shit. And then everybody feels a way because it's a really terrible way to speak about your wife. And so Simone Biles, Olympic medalist, international superstar, Simone Biles, goat in her field, legend in her own time, Simone Biles, that's Simone Biles, who we can pick out of a lineup, who we know her first and last name, as opposed to her husband, who is known as her husband. Continue. People were telling her to divorce her husband because of his dumbass comments about himself and the implication that it makes about their relationship. He also made a point to talk about how, like, she pursued him and some other shit. I think he's very young. I hope that if he's got halfway decent sense, he learned a lot from how he spoke of his wife in that scenario and how bad it made him and her look. And hopefully he won't do that dumb shit no more. To my knowledge, he's been very quiet since. But Simone Biles heard everybody talking about her, because I guess not even talking about her, but people were adding her. And she said at first it was like funny, ha ha. And then after a while, like she was really disturbed that so many people were feeling negative about her marriage and sending so much negativity her way, and then also telling her to divorce her husband. And she said, you know, if you knew who he was, if you just actually knew him, she said that, you know, he's very kind and he's very supportive and that he's all in for her. And people just, you know, completely misread his comments. So I hope that that's the case. She seems like a real sweet girl. I want only the best for her. If he's acting right, if he just had a public misstep, if he misspoke, if he just, you know, let his ego get too good to him and started popping his shit, let's hope that that was a one-off mistake and we don't hear no crazy shit from him no more. They both been pretty quiet, so it seems like they learned from that situation. Obviously, I say this about every time divorce comes up on here. I don't wish divorce on anyone. It's just such a horrible, terrible, negative. It's psychological torture. I don't wish it on anyone. So I hope that, you know, if they were having issues, they worked through them. They were never having issues. And just, you know, the public talking was their only big issue. I hope that they've made peace with that as well. I want Simone Biles and her husband to live well and prosper. I'll also say this. If the nigga ain't acting right, the light is on, sis. We have left the light on. If you need to come home, you can always come home. If it's working, let it work. If it's looking a little shifty, you know, try your best. Do what you can. But if it's time to go, we've left the light on. You are always welcome to come home, sis. Also, last but not least, I said I wasn't going to address this. I think I am, though. A couple episodes ago, I talked about a situation that was happening, and I said, shut the fuck up is free. When I say shut the fuck up is free, I don't have any commentary to add other than shut the fuck up is free. It's not shady. It's not grimy. It's not sideways. It's not dismissive. It literally means I have nothing to say. This one woman wrote in to me. She was very rude. Lots of curse words, lots of name calling, lots of speculation. I have my reasons for not talking about certain things. Literally the only reason I said anything whatsoever about it after it was in the public news for a week was because people were DMing me constantly about the subject. That's it. I said something just to address it so maybe people would stop. And for the most part, it did stop. But people trying to read more into what I say, I literally talk for a living. If you listen to this podcast, you know very well, I know how to be shady. I know how to be dismissive. I know how to be snarky. I know how to be sideways. I know how to send subliminals. I'm doing none of those things. I'm literally saying, I don't have a fucking comment. It was an issue when I said nothing. It was an issue when I said something. If you just want to have an issue, then fucking have it. But for the love of God, stop putting words in my mouth or putting feelings on me that I didn't express. That shit's annoying. And perhaps the purpose is to annoy me. If so, well done. But for real, like, touch grass or some shit. Like, ugh. Ugh. That's the episode. We'll talk on Tuesday. Hopefully I'm sleeping through the night again because my schedule is just... for shit. It's driving me crazy. All right. Talk soon. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.